We are in the midst of a 6 weeks series called Peacemakers, finding peace in a world that wants a fight. And we just live in that kind of culture. We live in a conflict-driven culture. We honor conflict. We celebrate bullying behavior. We really get into drama of people being mad and acting ugly and all those things. It's just weird. This is a weird time in which we live. You and I are called to something more than that. We're called to be peacemakers. And so we're taking some time to look carefully at what it would mean to be peacemakers in a world that wants a fight. I want to tell you again, as I did when we first started this series, that this series is something, it's hopefully going to be a book one of these days, but it's something that I've been working on for a long time, and we planned it and scheduled it some time ago, so I don't want anybody thinking that this is a knee-jerk reaction to the current drama that's going on in our community. This is something that I believe God wanted us to know and wanted us to think about because of the culture in which we live, and I think it's very important. I want us to think very carefully today about the fact that most of us have this irresistible urge to defend ourselves. That's probably a natural thing that's built into us, an instinct. If you attack, there's an instinct in me that's going to defend myself. We want to be aware of that so that we can learn to control that instinct instead of letting that instinct control us. Another way of saying it is we want to learn to respond, not react. Respond, don't react. There's a difference between those two things, isn't it? A reaction is an instant, and it's involuntary. A response is deliberate and wise. In other words, a reaction just happens. It just comes out of me. But a response is deliberate. In other words, it's something that I have chosen, and it's based on wisdom. David's gate before his mouth leads us to the ability to respond instead of react. A reaction asks one question: how do I feel right now? A response asks a better question: what does this moment actually need? There's a thought process and a response. Reaction is just emotions. The way I learned this, and I shouldn't really even use past tense because it's one of those that I have to continue learning, but the way I began my journey in learning the difference between response and reaction was when I was going through the most difficult time of my life. I was working harder than I'd ever worked before, than I ever will ever have to work again. From as soon as I woke up until I fell asleep at night, I was at work and I was struggling. I was trying to hold my family together. We didn't have a home to live in. We were doing everything we could to help our community. And every night, somebody would be on the local news beating us up. And every morning, I would get up and somebody would be on Facebook beating us up. And it was a horrible time. And I'm sitting in my office one day and I'm doing what I did back then, working myself to death and feeling sorry for myself at the same time. And this guy walks in my office. He and I had just started to get to know one another, and he was a special guy. Big old bushy beard. He was a retired Methodist minister. He had been a counselor as well. He was a philanthropist, helping folks all the time. Ben Younger came into my office and he sat down in the chair and he did what Ben usually did when he started a conversation with me. He sat and he looked at me said, Ben, what's going on? He said, tell me what's going on with you. And since I had the invitation, I let him know, I can't sleep, I can't eat, they're being mean, they're bullying, I'm doing the best I can. And he looked at me and he said, fog it. I said, what? He said, fog it. Then he explained to me a picture that has stayed with me ever since. He said, it's like this. If you are rigid like a pane of glass and somebody throws a rock at you, you're going to shatter. But if you can relax and be like fog, when they throw that rock at you, it just goes right on through. And I thought, man, there's some wisdom there. I've held on to that picture, and it has guided me more than once. What he was teaching me was the difference between reaction and response. If I am rigid and firm, and I put my feet in my, and you throw a rock at me, I'm just going to shatter. That's my reaction. But if I can think and process and breathe, I can choose to be fog and not let you control who I become. You see, if I'm that pane of glass, if I'm rigid, and you throw a rock at me and I shatter, I just gave you all my power. I let you decide how I was going to handle this situation. But if I retain the strength and the ability to determine that I'm going to be fog, then you don't have that power over me. I'm still in charge of me. Sometimes the best response is no response. Not because we're weak or afraid, but because we refuse to let someone else's foolishness determine our behavior. Respond, don't react. As we think that through, I want to take you to Proverbs chapter 26. We're going to look at verses 4 and 5. Because one of the verses represents response, one of the verses represents reaction. Proverbs chapter 26, look with me at verses 4 and 5. Answer not a fool according to his folly, lest you be like him yourself. Answer a fool according to his folly. Wait a minute. 4 said, don't answer a fool according to his folly. 5 says, answer a fool according to his folly. How can he contradict himself in 2 verses side by side? Look at it again, verse 4. Answer not a fool according to his folly, lest you be like him yourself. Verse 5, answer a fool according to his folly, lest he be wise in his own eyes. They seem contradictory, but the reason they seem contradictory is you and I are used to reading Proverbs like we read other scripture, and that is that we think Proverbs are rules. They are not. Proverbs are statements of wisdom. So he is not contradicting himself by saying, don't answer a fool, answer a fool. He is showing us wisdom. In verse 4, he says, don't answer a fool according to his foolishness, his folly, or you're going to become a fool. Verse 5, he says, sometimes there is a time to answer a fool according to his folly, or he's going to be wise in his own eyes. In other words, he doesn't know what he's talking about. He's wise in his own eyes. And there is a time when you want to speak truth, because if you let his lie stay there, that lie is going to expand and other people are going to pick it up, and it's going to have more power than it should. Don't answer a fool according to his folly. Don't act like a fool when you answer a fool. But there are times when the fool just has the wrong information and they're not telling the truth, whether they mean to or not. They don't know what they're talking about. So there is a time when you have to speak to bring out the truth. Well, how in the world do we keep those two things straight? We learn the rational response. The rational response. Don't answer a fool in a way that makes you a fool. But answer a fool if he is only wise in his own eyes, if he doesn't know what he's talking about. There is a time for that. James chapter 1 and verse 20 reminds us that anger of a man does not produce the righteousness of God. I'm not going to react and be foolish when there's a fool being a fool to me. I don't have to let you turn me into a fool. You remember a few years back, I know it's dated now, but a few years back, we learned that online rule, don't feed the trolls. You remember that? Trolls were those people who just wanted to get on there and they would just say stuff. They may not even really believe it, but they just want to get on there and say stuff to punch your buttons. They just enjoy the clicks and the responses and the comments. And so they will say whatever they have to say to stir all that up. We called them trolls. They weren't after the truth. They were after attention. So don't feed them what they're after. If they don't get what they're after, they'll eventually go away. This is a rational response versus an emotional reaction. James says, if you just react in anger, that doesn't produce the righteousness of God. Instead, think it through, process it, use a rational response. Let me show you what that looks like. Did everybody get a card when you came in? Looks like this. If you didn't get one, look over your neighbor's shoulder. We're all friendly here. The rational response, it looks like this. Somebody says something to you or about you. Yes, it hurts. But you're not going to react emotionally. Instead, you want to respond rationally. How do you do that? You think about what they said and why they said it. In other words, you're going to ask two questions. The first question, are they right? Second question, are they being reasonable? Is what they said correct? Is it true? Is it right? Did they handle this situation in a reasonable way? The way you answer those two questions is going to help you know how to respond. First, if what they said really is true, it is right, you may not like it, it might hurt, but you have to admit it is right, and they handled it in a reasonable way. They talked to you with respect. They talked to you privately before they went public. They handled it in a reasonable way. You really probably ought to just receive that. That's something that you probably ought to really accept. If it's true and they were reasonable, you receive it. If it is true, but they handled it all wrong, they were ugly, they bullied you, they talked about you instead of to you, they stirred up more trouble than it was necessary, all this stuff. If what they said is right, but they weren't reasonable, this one is the hardest one for me. You have to consider it. You can't throw it away because of the way they acted. You have to consider what might be true. If what they say, what they said is correct, you consider it. Now, emotionally, you consider it from a distance. You don't let their misbehavior bring you into misbehavior. You don't let their misbehavior hurt your feelings. You see it for what it is, their misbehavior that they are responsible for. But if there is some truth behind what they were trying to say, you have to consider that. Then there are those who are just not right. The way they see it just isn't true. It's not correct. It's not valid. But they sure are nice about it. In that case, you have an opportunity to explain it. If they're being reasonable, they will allow you to explain the truth. So they don't get it. They're not saying, what they're saying is not correct, but they're being reasonable. You can reason with them. And so you explain it. And then there are those people who are not correct. What they're saying just is not true. And they are not being reasonable in the way they're handling it. You fog it. If what they're saying isn't true, I don't have to consider it. And they're not being reasonable, I don't have to accept it. I also don't have to react to it. I can just fog it. Let it go through. Proverbs 15 says it this way, a soft answer turns away wrath, but a harsh word stirs up anger. I can learn to be responsive instead of reactive. I can respond with a rational response instead of an emotional reaction. This is the rational response. Let me show you the perfect example of this. And we can find the perfect example of this in Matthew. We're done in Proverbs, so turn with me and let's find Matthew. Matthew chapter 27. Jesus has already been arrested. He's already been dragged to some of these fake courts that they had set up. And now he stands before the Roman governor. You see, the Jewish leaders wanted to kill Jesus, but they could not. They did not have the authority to carry out the death penalty. So they had to go through the Roman government in order to carry out the death penalty. They bring him to Governor Pilate. They want Pilate to approve his execution. And so he now stands before Pilate in Matthew chapter 27, beginning at verse 11. Jesus stood before the governor, and the governor asked him, "Are you the king of the Jews?" Jesus said, "You have said so." But when he was accused by the chief priests and elders, he gave no answer. Then Pilate said to him, "Do you not hear how many things they testify against you?" But he gave him no answer, not even to a single charge, so that the governor was greatly amazed. You see, here is the perfect example of what we're talking about, this rational response. First, there was Pilate who asked an honest question. And so that would be verse 5 in our proverb, answer a fool if it's going to take you to the truth. There are times to answer a fool if he's only wise in his own eyes. He doesn't see the truth. You can answer him. This is how Jesus showed us how to do it. Pilate said, "Are you king of the Jews?" Jesus says, "You said it." But then there are those religious leaders over here, and they are not after the truth. They don't care about the truth. They're only after setting a trap for Jesus. He knows that when they ask questions, they are really accusations, not questions. He knows that that no matter what he says, they're going to twist his words, and it's going to turn into this big old social media whiplash nastiness. And so he's wise enough just to not say a word. That's verse 4 of our proverb. Don't answer a fool according to his foolishness, or you become a fool. Jesus is not going to become a fool. Jesus is not going to let them determine who he is. You see, this is the perfect example because there is a time to speak the truth. Jesus, are you the king of the Jews? You better believe I am. You're the one that said it. He answers when truth calls for an answer. But he refuses when the argument calls for silence. They don't want the truth, they just want the argument. And he says, I don't play fool's games. He refuses when the argument calls for silence. This is extra powerful when we realize that in the chapter preceding this, just hours before this moment, he said in Matthew 26, "Do you think that I cannot appeal to my Father and he will at once send me more than 12 legions of angels?" A legion, think of it like a thousand. It's really not intended to be math here, but the point is he could bring thousands and thousands and thousands of angels down on these idiots if he wanted to. And he said that before he wound up before Pilate. In other words, he already knows that this is the power he has, and he's already demonstrated this to someone, and he could wipe all these people out in a moment, but instead he chose to be quiet. Because he knows that beating them at their own game doesn't help him move his agenda forward, his purpose. His purpose is to die for our sins. So he's not going to get distracted by the potential chaos. And so he answers when truth requires an answer. But when an argument is just looking for an argument, he stays silent. The prophet told us he could do that all the way back, hundreds of years before. In Isaiah chapter 53, the prophet looked forward and saw Messiah and said he was oppressed, he was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth. Like a lamb that is led to slaughter, like a sheep before his shearers is silent, so he opened not his mouth. Verse 12 of Matthew 27 says he did not answer them. Again in verse 14, Matthew wanted us to make sure we got it. So in verse 14, he says again, he did not answer. Matthew, always ready to tie us to the Old Testament prophecies, Matthew is pointing out this one is the real deal. This one is Messiah. He opened not his mouth. Did you know it's okay to open not your mouth? There are times. 1 Peter says it this way, when he was reviled, he did not revile in return. Answer not a fool according to his foolishness. When he was reviled, he did not revile in return. When he suffered, he did not threaten, but continued entrusting himself to him who justifies, to him who judges justly. Don't you love that last phrase? A reminder that there is one who judges justly. You ain't him. But there is one. Let him handle that mess. Father God, we want to thank you for your love for us. Thank you that you entrust us with responsibility, that you give us the power to be the people, to say the things that you want us to say. We forget it, Lord. We react out of natural instinct, but when we are tied into you, you give us wisdom, and so we say thank you. Lord, would you develop that in each of us, that we might live beyond just the natural instincts and that we might walk with the Spirit so that we could learn to put that gate before our mouths, that we would be able to speak truth in love when a question requires truth, and in the same moment, we would be able to avoid foolish arguments that would make us foolish. Give us wisdom. Help us to live our lives in a way that makes us more like Jesus, who is the perfect example of this. Lord, help us to be peacemakers. We pray for it in the name of the Prince of Peace. Amen. Let's stand together.